This Uinta Golf Masters update with Brian Taylor is brought to you by Mountain Land Supply, Zions Bank, Hoops Vision, Siegfried & Jensen, and Black Desert Resort. Now, here's Real Golf Radio's Brian Taylor.
First round of the Masters is underway right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. To help break it down, one of the best out there, Brian Taylor of Real Golf Radio, kind enough to join us. BT, how are you?
Hey, BT.
Here we go, huh? Round number one. We got some brown on the greens early.
I was going to point that out. I am a landscaping and lawn nerd, and I love the Masters, and I'll be honest, I'm not happy seeing brown on those greens. That's not my Masters experience right there.
Well, the folks at Mountain Land Supply can help you with that, right, Hans? But
yeah.
here's the deal. From a golf major championship standpoint, that brown is luscious. I mean, that is delicious stuff right there, because that means that they are pushing those greens to the edge. And let's not forget, they have the best staff, agronomy, everything you could imagine right there at their disposal at Augusta National. But you start with these green surfaces. You know, when you can get them that firm and fast and they start baking out a little bit like that, man, it is. I was watching, you know, Victor Hovland had a putt for birdie, and he hit it just a little too hard. And on I think it was on the ninth hole, got just past the hole, went and started going down that false front probably about 15 feet, and he missed the comebacker to make bogey. And it can happen just that quick. So I'll tell you what, it makes for some entertainment. It'll be fun to watch with how these guys navigate the gentle nature and the amazing touch that's required around these greens in this condition.
I feel like this is all a conspiracy to affect the beef hammer.
The beef hammer?
Yeah, the beef hammer.
Do you make up that nickname, or is that out there?
I don't know. I don't know. That's out there, right, Lloyd?
I don't know that anybody calls him that except for you.
Oh, did you?
I'm not
create
sure
that
what you're even talking about.
I thought you used that so much that was an established nickname for DeChambeau. Or did you just create that nickname?
I can't remember. I just started using it one day and fell in love with it. But, yeah, that's Bryson DeChambeau. Is that not a nickname that's out there?
You know what? Maybe I'm not out there. Maybe that's just it.
I think in the world of golf, you're 20 times more out there than I am. So if you haven't heard it, maybe it's. But is this a conspiracy to slow down DeChambeau?
Oh, I don't know. Look, at the end of the day, in order to be able to get the ball anywhere near these flags on this type of condition, you need to be able to control your spin. And so you're actually, again, it plays to the advantage of length. I mean, if you can come into these greens with shorter clubs, you know, you have more control, you know. So if a guy's coming in with a 7-iron and DeChambeau's coming in with a wedge, I mean, he should be able to control that shot more with a wedge than a 7-iron. So I don't think so. I don't think there's anything that could be said necessarily about that. Does it put more pressure on your short game than it does your ability to knock it, you know, long off the tee, perhaps. But again, there's always an advantage. If Bryson drives it well and puts himself in the fairway, then he's going to give himself a better opportunity than a guy that like Mike Weir, who doesn't hit it very far down there, and he's playing from the fairway just because he's coming in with a shorter iron. So I don't think it's a conspiracy, but it doesn't surprise me that after hosting a November Masters, where the golf course, just simply because of Mother Nature and the nature of the golf course and the agronomy there, they weren't able to get it to, quote, Masters conditions, and DJ goes out and shoots a record 20 under. It doesn't surprise me that they come back and say, hey, don't forget, this golf course is not irrelevant. This can be all you want for the best players in the world.
So Trey Wingo, formerly of ESPN, sent out a tweet last year of asking his followers to come up with a nickname for Bryson DeChambeau. And he said, other submissions I've received, Bryson DeChambeau.
That's a good one.
Bryson's been out there. Yeah, Bryson's pretty popular.
Bryson DeRambo and the Beef Hammer. And that's the only reference I have on Google of Bryson DeChambeau being called the Beef Hammer. So
blame it on Wingo.
Yeah, there you go. But it certainly hasn't taken hold by any stretch. Obviously, you know, early scores rolling in, and we were just kind of joking during the break. It always seems like Freddie Couples always has a fun first round whenever he plays in the Masters, and then you never hear from him again, but it seems like he's starting to put something together again just for fun, for old time's sake here in the early stages.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he makes a couple pars early on. It's, and that's what I'm interested to see. I mean, so Freddie is able to go out there and play well for a round or two, but that is a challenge physically. I've had a chance to caddy, as you guys know, and walk that in tournament play, and it's a grind. It's a walk. And so for a guy like Freddie, who's one old, but has had an old back for a long time.
Yeah.
For a guy like that, you know, it just four rounds sometimes is unsustainable. It was fun. I think it was probably 7 or 8 years ago. And, you know, he was in contention through three rounds and he was talking about it and he was emotional and he was excited, but you know, he didn't have a Sunday. It just wasn't there for him. And I think that's going to be something that is going to be interesting for Tiger. If he's ever able to come back, you know, is he going to be able to go four rounds? I think it'll be interesting to see this week with Brooks Koepka, you know, 3 weeks off a knee surgery. Will he be able to go all 4 days? Because you do find yourself in some awkward spots where you have uphill, downhill, sidehill, lies, and that type of thing, which puts pressure on the knee. So anyway, those are some stories there. But you're right. You know, when you look at the first, it's nobody ever goes out and wins the green jacket on Thursday. You just don't want to shoot yourself out of it. And
yeah.
So when you see the front of the leaderboard, it's not surprising that maybe there's some names you didn't expect to see there.
How much of a grind? Not just, I guess, maybe even just on the PGA Tour in general, but at a course like Augusta, how much of a grind is it mentally too on these guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge part of it. You know, I mean, everybody that has an opportunity to play in the Masters, Xander Schauffele summed it up perfectly. He's playing, I think, in his fifth Masters, and he said, you know what, I've changed my routine. I've forced myself to get off of property before I wear myself out, because you get here, and he said, and I've also learned not to get stuck on the range. The range there, the practice area at Augusta that they created just for the Masters, it's only open that week. Members get a hit off a regular old driving range like the rest of us. But at the Masters, it's this amazing practice facility. And you could sit there, and it's like a Disneyland for a golfer, right? And he said, I've learned not to get stuck on the range, and I've learned to force myself to leave the property, because he said, I just wanted to soak it all up. I'm so excited to be there, and I want to win it so badly that by the time the weekend rolls around, I'm just exhausted. And that's as much mentally as it is physically. So you're right, Scotty. It's a big deal. And normally you've got, you know, a huge buildup to this because, you know, the last major was 7-8 months previously. And here we are, you know, a quicker turnaround to the Masters. And these guys are excited to get out there and want to win it. And it's going to be – I do think with the golf course playing this way, I do think it's going to lend itself to more experience. The guys that understand, you know, that the nuances that come from a conditions like this, they've seen it before. And so I do tend to think, if I had to pick, that I would go with someone that's played, you know, in a few Masters, not someone that's maybe in their second or third effort.
You know, BT, before any major football game, NFL, AFL, college, I had a certain mindset of the way I would take the first play and the first drive. And, you know, thoughts on hand placement, headbutts, aggression, and how I wanted to attack, especially that first play, the first two or three plays. What is the mentality of a PGA Tour player addressing the first box at the Masters? Like, is it a set standard of how you're supposed to clear your mind? Are they thinking about their grip? Like, what are they typically thinking about when they approach that first box?
You know, it's a really good question, Hans. I wish that I had experience with that I could share, like you just did, because that's cool to listen to. I can tell you just from covering these guys that they have their routines, right? And golfers, like a lot of athletes, tend to be creatures of habit. They have the ways that they go about things, and they like to be. You know, Augusta's an interesting one because you're not the players aren't isolated from the patrons. In fact, you come walking from behind the clubhouse, and you literally walk right through. They don't rope it off. Typically, the players' walking areas are roped off, but they walk right through the throng of people. Now, the throng is smaller this year, and then they walk to the practice putting green, which is directly behind the first tee. And they'll spend some time on that putting green, and then when it's their turn, they walk across, and they do kind of hold the people back. It's not roped off, but they hold them back, and they – walk to the first tee. And it's a scene unlike really any other spot, because it's the same one that all the greats have teed off on over the years. And these players grew up watching it. And so they have the same sort of chills, the same sort of feels that we as golf fans have. And they get just as geeked about the opportunity to play. And so part of that mental exercise is to block that out and focus on the task at hand and not the bigger picture of what would it mean for me to win a green jacket, or, you know, think of all the things that they've witnessed over the years at this same place. So I think most of them just go to that spot. They go right to their pre-shot routine. Once they get to the first tee, you know, they block that out and focus on, okay, you know, I have one waggle, two waggles, I look and go. I don't think there's really any other way you could do it. It'd just be too overwhelming.
Brian Taylor joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. So I know it's still early on, but who are two or three guys that you want to be paying attention to that you think certainly could get this thing done?
Well, Matsuyama's an interesting one. That, you know, a lot of people mention him sort of on the inside, you know, golf circles, but not a real popular pick. But I think he was runner-up a year ago or the last one, and there he is jumping out to 3-under par early. You know, Siwoo Kim, looking at his stats, I mean, this is uncharted territory for him. He hasn't had a top 20 at the Masters, Behezenhout or whatever. He's out of his mind. You know, we'll see what happens with him, if he's even still around. But, you know, he's in uncharted waters. Paul Casey's a good one there at 3-under par. He just eagled the 8th hole, the par 5. You know, that's a guy that are a lot of people are sort of under the radar picks for Paul Casey. But, you know, again, the big thing, I love these afternoon tee times. These afternoon tee times today are just loaded with, you know, the big names and the talent. We've got Phil and Fleetwood and Scheffler, Cantlay, Eam and Fitzpatrick, Scott DeChambeau and Homa, Finau, JT and Oosthuizen, and then the final group, which is really kind of odd, actually. But Spieth, Cam Smith, who was also runner-up, and Morikawa. I mean, there's some powerhouse. If the winners don't come out of one of those final groups, I'd be shocked. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how they play. And the winds are going to pick up this afternoon. So it is going to be even just a little bit more difficult, that Georgia Sun baking out those already brown greens, as we talked about, and then picking up a little bit of wind. It's going to be tough. Guys need to be around par. I don't think you're going to see anyone go super low. Just stay around par and look for your opportunity. Maybe a little rain coming in tomorrow will soften things up.
Last year's champ just made the turn on 10, finished up with a par on 10, and he's about to go hit 11. And we talked to Bob Casper yesterday about that 11 being the toughest on the course. Talk about how Dustin Johnson, last year's champ, has played through the first 10 holes and what your expectations are for him through the next three rounds after this.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's right where he needs to be. He's one over par. You know, he started off with a bogey. It's amazing how tough one can play, especially – that green is particularly difficult, and especially when it's firm. I remember it was Ernie Els. I think he five putted, if I'm not mistaken, on that green that. 1 year. I mean, that green is really, really tough, and it's a tough pin placement today. So not surprising, but he comes back and he birdies too. That's what he's supposed to do. He's long. You know, a bogey at five, again, a really difficult hole at number five, and then it's been all pars since. So a little surprised he wasn't able to take advantage of a birdie there at eight. But, yeah, at this point in time for DJ, trying not to lose anything big through Amen Corner, take advantage of 13. We've seen, you know, some numbers made at 13 and 15. As I mentioned, we already had an eagle at 15. So, he you know what, he's in a good spot. Again, only three players have ever repeated back-to-back, you know, green jackets, and that's Jack, Nick Faldo, and Tiger Woods, the last to do it in the early 2000s, almost 20 years ago. So not an easy feat, but I think DJ is in a good space. And look, one over par with what he's doing right now, if he comes in 72, 73, you know, he's in a great spot.
Brian Taylor right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. BT, you're the best, man. We appreciate it.
All right, enjoy it, guys. This is a fun weekend for sure, and always good to talk golf with you all.
Thanks, BT.
Brian Taylor right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.